The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Welcome into the Lotus Place Radio Show tonight. It is, once again, Wednesday. Goodness gracious, we are breezing through this month. It is November the 16th, 2016 already. And I wonder if anyone had an opportunity to see the supermoon. It was beautiful. Oh my goodness. The moon was the most beautiful colors, and just the big. The supermoon is supposed to be like the moon that's like the closest to the earth that you could possibly see the moon. And I mean, it was beautiful. It didn't look like that from where I was standing, but it was extremely big. I guess I could say, yeah, it was just overtaking the sky. I mean, it was beautiful. So, but oh my gosh, it was gorgeous. I didn't take any pictures, but I did make my wish, and that was beautiful. Well, said my affirmation to the moon and thanked the moon. So, oh, it was beautiful. And it's been a full moon the past few nights, and you know what they say about those full moon nights. So I hope everybody's been behaving themselves. So welcome into the Lotus Place. And tonight we are having our Black Thought and Black Talk for tonight. So we will speak on a variety of topics relative to the black community, planning, building, unity. So on last week after the election, as a review of the election, we were concluding our conversation that night with who are you in terms of, do we know who we are? Do we know our history? Do we know ourselves, our own ways, our idiosyncrasies? Do we know our weaknesses, strengths, purpose, reason why you are here, what you're here for? What was that song, Diana Ross? Do you know where you're going to? I wish Featherlight was on. She could sing that song. Do you know where you're going to? Do you know what is it life has for you?
Oh, like the things that life are showing you.
Yeah, do you thank you. I knew somebody would come in and help with that. Yes, do you like the things that life's been showing you? Where are you going to? And speaking of which, I can just say, oh my God, someone like Scotty, you are just such an inspiration. It is just such a joy. I feel overwhelmingly grateful. Let me bring Featherlight in. To actually be able to work with you here at Black Talk Radio Network, because I'm learning so much, and just you as a, I call it a make it happen kind of person. Scotty makes things happen. When Scotty is presented with a problem, he has that entrepreneurial, what I call entrepreneurial spirit, which you must have. You develop a solution for a problem, and that's what the entrepreneurial spirit is. That's what it encompasses. And so we're on this new Uber conference. We have a new number. You can call in 866-510-9025, and also you can go to Black Talk Radio Network and sign up for the BTR experience, the Black Social Media experience, and it is absolutely wonderful. Let me bring in, let's see, Featherlight, did I open up your mic? Are you there? Let's see. Mute it, unmute it.
I don't see her on the board. That's the other person on the board is someone who has been listening to the previous program. So I don't see Featherlight on the board.
You know, we're looking at two different boards, because I see her on this board.
You do?
I do. I actually do. But you know, I may have logged in on a different conference. So what do you think I need to do, Scotty? The mastermind. Mastermind, what do I need to do?
Is she in a different conference?
I think we are both in a different conference.
No, but you are in our conference, because you are talking to me.
Okay. But you know what? I don't see you. Normally I will see like Black Talk Radio Network, and I will see like organizers.
You're in the wrong place. You're in your own conference. Yes. You had set up.
Oh goodness. Okay. So now let's see. How do I join? How can Featherlight and I join the proper conference? What do I need to do? Log out of this one.
Yeah, log out of that one. And then go to uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. And that'll put you in the right place. So make sure you tell her, or if you can, let me see. I don't have her telephone number. I could actually call her. If you want to send me a message.
Yeah, I'll send you a message.
Can you text
it
to me?
I'll send you a message. I can do that. I can do that while we are getting ourselves situated in the proper conference. Just hold on, everybody. Have a seat here at the Lotus Place, and let me send you this. Okay.
I'm very interested in the topic tonight, the question about what does unity or black unity look like, because I tell you, I just...
Okay.
There are some people that I just cannot unify with.
I understand that, Scotty. I totally understand that, because you know what? I agree with, I listened to some of the abolitionist show prior to tuning in, and I always say that just because they're black folk or just because they're skin folk does not mean that they're kin folk. It really does not. So I just sent the number to you because you have people all around the world, not just here in the States, but in other countries. I mean, we could even look at the motherland, the homeland. If we had some righteous people over there and not trying to swindle all the money out of the brothers and sisters over there, my goodness.
Make sure that she's disconnected if she's in that other one. The system should be calling her now.
The system should call her. The system should be calling you. And so, let's see. I'm logging in now. I hope to see you. And I look forward to hearing.
Yep, I just saw you come in.
Your definition.
There you go.
Thank you.
And I think we have Feather Light also. Do we have Feather Light on 612? Okay, my bad. You got somebody on 612.
That's Icy Hot.
Okay, let me open her mic up. Good evening, Icy Hot.
Good evening.
I said, hi. Namaste, how are you?
Excellent.
Good. We're just getting everything together here.
Okay.
And
we got a lot to talk about.
Oh, we do. And I tell you one thing, we're waiting on Feather Light because she has a poem that she would like to read. But I tell you what, while we're waiting on her, so much has been going on. I know I would like to also mention the school protest, but is there anything that you would like to share? Because you had a show this week also, Icy Hot. Did you have any interesting topics or comments that you would like to share?
We didn't have our show this week, but we'll have it next Monday. We got kind of a little bogged down with some more interesting things that we had to do with children in school, but... I was just looking at the Philando Castile situation here in St. Paul, Minnesota, and he was charged with second-degree manslaughter. And I was just looking at the former prosecutor, white female, and her deal was that the sitting prosecutor did charge him appropriately because he was not intending to kill him. It was just a terrible accident. And so that's why they only charged him with second degree manslaughter. So people did protest thinking he should have gotten, murder charge. But either way it goes, and then the prosecutor bypassed the grand jury process, which we all know they'll charge him, but he'll still get off. Charging someone with something, he'll still get off.
Mm-hmm. As usual, and
so if you fire seven rounds with somebody, it's like, how can you say that was intent to kill? That's what they train them is intent to kill, from what I understand.
From my understanding as well, they shoot body mass to kill. Why can't you just disarm somebody? So what needs to be addressed actually is their policies in the police union, and really just to get rid of police, period. I mean, that would be ideal for me. We really don't need all of that. We don't need to be occupied. So because we see what's happening, we see what the result is. We're not protected by you. We're haunted.
Well, we unfortunately have gone down this road way far. Oh, is that the light? I thought I heard
Feather Light.
Nope.
Yes. Namaste. Oh, namaste. I'm namaste to you. Yes, namaste. So Icy Hot's on the line with us. She just gave an update on the Philando Castile case there, and then also Sam DuBose case in Cincinnati, mistrial. I mean, they just, oh my God, I'm just torn. I can't really say he killed him. I can't really say he shot the man in the back of his head over nothing. You're a campus police officer. You should have had your butt on campus. Why are you hunting down and trailing this man anyway? Leave people alone. And that's the whole point of the matter. It's just a hunt. Slave catchers still around here hunting, trying to capture people and put them back on a chain gang, put them back on a damn plantation in jail. I'm so sick of these people. And so, I mean, there are many things that could be done to eradicate all of this, and people have ideas.
Yeah, unfortunately, with the fascists in the White House now, it's going to get only worse.
You know what? I'm going to take the position that, no, it's not. Because you know what? I'm not going to let anybody control my life and my destiny. I am going to continue living, keep on pushing. What's that song? Keep on pushing. Keep on pushing.
Yeah.
And doing what I have on my agenda. And speaking of which, that's a great segue into another piece of our topic tonight. How are you on your goals? Those goals and what is it, New Year's resolutions that were set for 2016? Where are you? We want to know. Where are you on those goals? So look at your list. If you're not there, can you get there by January? And then if we give you 30 more days, can you get there by January the 31st? Can you do it? Can you do it, Featherlight? Can you do it, Icy Hot?
I know that I have started on mine. I may not be totally finished, but I'm taking some big strides. I haven't put it aside. I've been working on it. And part of the whole deal is to first recognize that some work needs to be done, and number two, start doing it. Put some action into it.
Yeah. For me, I guess
so
I never
have that level.
One, except one goal, and that is to try to make life better for the people. And it's just a passion more than a goal, I guess, New Year's resolution and all that. I don't necessarily do that. I just
Your mission here on Earth. That may be your mission here on this planet, but we're talking like short-term goals, like what are you going to do while you're making things better for the people on, you know, on this earth? You know, what steps are you taking? You know, I'm not, you know, trying to say what you should or should be doing, but that's what we're talking about when we were talking about goals, setting goals. Because my mission too is to uplift, inspire, motivate, and teach, and particularly in the area of children. But then I have some personal goals, you know, that I am working on for myself in order to be better able to do those things that I just mentioned. You know, because you know, I'm not afraid to admit that I need some inner work. You know, a lot of times we focus so much on the outside. We're trying to change what's around us, but first we have to change what's inside before we can actually change what's around us.
No, that's one way to look at it.
Oh yes, oh yes. That is the best way.
I don't do New Year's deals.
Right, so
it's
like
good
any
for
kind
the people
like,
that do it. It's good.
Right,
for people to do it.
So if you did set like some goals or resolutions, or I'm gonna do this, not necessarily a resolution, but something that you set out to do and work on or achieve, accomplish for this year.
A change.
I guess for me, mine is still ongoing. I don't do it, you know, I'm not a traditional, I guess, person around the holidays. I just kind of,
We're not talking about holidays. Forget holidays.
So any kind of goal or change, I like that, change, anything like that. If you want to share it, then we are happy to hear updates. And you can call in with your updates. So I know like for you, Featherlight, you have like greatly improved in terms of your jewelry design. Oh my God, you are natural.
Thank you.
That I have to like sit and kind of like think and then like maybe take a peek at some of yours and say, oh wow, okay. Right. So yes, beads, bottles, and things. Look out for that. That's our name for the new business venture, Icy Hot. So you have to check it out. I'll send you that. Our jewelry line. Up and coming. Is it something with change?
I hope you got that beautiful sample I sent you.
You know, if I had, honey, I'd be calling you, but I haven't yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, you know what? It's getting maybe a little bit closer to the holidays. It's a little slow.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but I think that would be really...
I'm looking for it.
It is. Yes.
I'm looking for it. I love that.
And I had to part with it because, see, I knew that's what you all did. And I said, I bet you if I give them this, they could really do something extraordinary.
Oh, yeah.
With this.
Yeah.
Oh, it is beautiful. And when you do it, I want one. I'm buying it.
Okay. All right. For sure. For sure. My compliments. Yes. All right. Thank you. I look forward to it. And I will definitely call you when I get it.
Speaking of which, not to like really like just really put business out there, but there's been an issue with the mail coming here. That's a whole nother issue. I won't even go into all of the details, but anyway, so we've been having to like go to the post office. You know what? I think maybe I'm experiencing some of these things like you, because I know I sent someone something, they didn't receive it. But anyway, there's an issue with the mail.
I'm not gonna let that go. It is coming. It is.
I know that's coming, but I said that just to say that I picked up the phone and called our representative, Jim Murphy, here in House District 133, Houston, Texas, and I called Friday.
Yes.
Monday morning, 9 a.m., his office was returning my call. So, people, we have to, as we have stated, utilize these people that are there to, quote-unquote, represent us.
Mm-hmm.
If they're in office saying that they're our representative, then when there's an issue, pick up that phone and call.
Cool.
Make them accountable for that seat they're sitting in.
That's right.
You sitting up in that office, ordering all that big boy furniture and carrying on.
Yeah, work.
Exactly. Taking trips and all of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, look, I need you, how do I say it? I'm going to need you to, see about this for me.
That's right. Use your power. Use your stick. Use your arm.
Yes.
Reach out.
If I go up to this Kroger one more time when summertime comes and the air is out, those children, those young teenagers, they had those teenagers working in heat.
Yes.
And I told them, I said, listen, because I almost fell out and I had to leave and go to the darn HEB. And I told two of those checkers, listen, you have a union? Yeah, we have a union. I said, well, you need to call your union and tell your union that you're working in Houston heat with no air in the grocery store in Kroger. They can have that fixed in a couple of hours. I'm just happy to have a job. I said, what? I'm not going to complain because I'm just happy to have a job. I said, they are raising the children like this. You just happy to have a job, but you just be working
doing anything, being treated any kind of way.
Right. But let me tell you what those Mexicans in San Antonio did when Kroger pulled that crap on them in San Antonio, and at 110 degrees, they had that air fixed the next day because they walked out.
Ah.
They united, which goes to our topic tonight, filters in so fluidly into our topic tonight, unity. What does unity look like to you? Those people in San Antonio, the employees of Kroger, banded together, coalesced, united, and walked out. And I don't blame them. Kroger has enough money. Okay, well, look, guess what? Until you get the air fixed, let's close it down. And you still need to pay me because it's not my fault.
Right. I was here ready to work.
Exactly. Because you sitting up here with a broken down air conditioning unit and don't want to pay to have it fixed. I don't care how many thousands of dollars it costs. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, my God. Not only are you uncomfortable, we are uncomfortable.
Exactly. Then they got to stand there for hours and hours and hours.
I couldn't agitate those children for nothing in the world.
Mm.
I was like, oh, my God. Y'all just, you know, happy to have a job.
Yeah.
Man, really. So, I tell you, I hope that people are not still teaching their children to go to school for 12 years and then another 4 or 8 so that you can get a job.
Yeah.
A good job.
Just
a
over broke.
Job. A city job. Right, please. And if they are not natural or organic entrepreneurs, then they should be connected with those that are so they can at least work for them.
Right.
Some good business people with scruples that will practice nepotism like they did in Oklahoma, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I love to hear the way that they practice nepotism there, openly practice it.
Yeah.
So they hired the children from the community.
Your own.
I love it. That's right. They hired their own.
Keep it in the family.
Yes. Yeah. I see absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. Absolutely nothing at all. So anyway, Featherlight, you have a poem that you want
yes,
you like
I do.
To share?
Yes, okay, this is one that I've shared
topic.
Before.
I'll take a break.
Mm-hmm. Earlier in the year. And I will, what time is it? I will share the poem, and then I would like to come back and discuss what it means to me, and you can discuss what it means to you, and anybody else who would like to comment on it, because it does have a good message. This is called, There is a Hole in My Sidewalk. Chapter 1, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. Chapter 2, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it. It's there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5. Hell, I walk down another street. Namaste. Wow. So the whole premise of this walking down the street, constantly walking that
down the same street.
That is what we are doing. Yes. Many of us are walking down the same street. We know what's in that street. We know what's going to happen as we walk down that street, and we keep pretending that we don't know, and we keep walking down that same street, and then we're all puzzled and bewildered and frustrated and shocked and appalled. I mean, all these emotions over and over and over and over again. We keep doing this to our psyche. Well, we know all about the street. Our ancestors went down the same street 15 generations or so ago. They went on the same street. It's 9:30. Time for your break.
Well, I was getting so into walking down the same street.
Oh, man.
I'm thinking about the same streets I've been walking down. Shoot. Goodness
Don't
gracious.
Be all.
Yes, indeed. So we'll pick
yes,
back up on that.
Point.
And Delta joined us also. So we'll go ahead on and take a break, and we'll come back. I know we have some more hot topics. And we want to hear from you, too, about your walk down the street. And we're also talking about the dangers of Depo Provera and talcum powder. Goodness. So let's take a break, and we'll be right back. You're tuned in to The Lotus Place here at Black Talk Radio Network.
Not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
And we're back here at the Lotus Place. It is Wednesday, November 16th, 2016. And you can call in and share your thoughts and comments. Tonight, we are having our Black Talk and Black Talk segment tonight. And we want to know, who are you and what are you? Brother Brown's supposed to join us. And he said that he has some very important information to share with our listening audience tonight. So we're just waiting on Brother Brown also to call in. And what is your idea of unity and justice? And I know also that our beloved Scotty has some thoughts and comments that he would like to share. So looking forward to hearing from you as well, Scotty. Delta, before you come in and before we also talk more about walking down that street, the same old street. Gwen Ifill passed, and she was a journalist, right? And I know people probably remember seeing her just recently, the presidential debates, and but she was a groundbreaking journalist, and she covered like Congress and national campaigns for like decades. Covered the White House. She died Monday. She was in a hospice. She was only 61 years of age. Uterine cancer. And see, that's why I wanted to bring up again this whole talcum powder, because how many of us, I know I used to do it back in the day, especially when you lived in Memphis, Tennessee in the summertime. We spray, and then you just want to keep your room smelling like baby powder. Because that's
right.
What we grew up with, baby powder, right? Talcum,
right.
Baby powder all over us. And so we would sprinkle it like on the mattress, in your sheet, and in your pillowcase. You put it all in between your legs, on your stomach, your boobs in the summertime,
around
under
your
arm. Oh, God, a powder set up around your neck. Oh, that whole powder setup has a story in and of itself.
Yeah.
That was after that damn tornado came through Memphis, Tennessee, after I had survived being in Miami, didn't get hit by a hurricane, came back home to Memphis. Memphis had a damn tornado,
And they kept calling it straight line wind.
Straight line wind.
Yeah, those were some straight line wind.
They did not want to admit that they had been hit by a tornado.
And they missed it, didn't call it, couldn't call it if it was right there in front of them in a dossier. I said, God damn. I said, this is ridiculous. So, but anyway, I digress. I don't even know how I got in. Oh, the powder setup. The lights went out for days.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I mean, we hot. Damn tree in front of the front door. You can't get out the front door.
Right.
All this kind of craziness. You know, it became light and then dark in like 2 seconds. And
yes.
It was
yes.
just the weirdest thing. It was crazy. It was
and,
a darn
and look,
thing. I thought
remember,
I was Dorothy.
I walked out the front door the next day, and I stood on the porch and I just paused just to kind of look around at the damage, and right in front of me, this great big tree just fell right like boom. Like if I had taken another step, it would have fallen on me. But I just stopped for a minute and paused. I'm like, damn, and I went back to the house.
So we went into that whole conversation because the powder setup comes from that, because it was so hot that we would, all of us, when I say we and some of the neighbors, we would just take powder and just pat it all over ourselves so that we could stay cool. So we're just walking around like, yeah, I got a little powder setup, you know, pat all on your neck and back. I mean, because it was hot. Oh, my God. It was Memphis, Tennessee in the summertime. So, but anyway, just think about all of that powder that we had on.
All of that powder.
Damn powder called uterine cancer. Right, right. So, Glenn
Eiffel. And they knew it.
Yes. Passed of complications of uterine cancer. So, I wonder, did she use talcum powder? Let me welcome in Delta, and then let's get back on your walking down the street. Delta, what's up? You there, Delta? I don't know if Delta's there, but Delta, are you muted? And then Brother Brown, you're there too.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Delta.
Can you hear me now?
Okay. Welcome
to everybody.
Uh-oh, wait, let's do it.
Hello, Delta.
I did. What's up, Delta?
I was saying welcome to everybody. You know, glad to be on the show tonight. And I was listening at your thought about the talcum powder. And I would like to comment on that. You know, down south, we always used a lot of talcum powder, baby powder. We just used a lot of it. And I like to say I had a niece, you know, I told y'all a while back, she was 18 years old and had a headache. And she came home from her job and went in the room. Next thing we know, she had a fight for her life. And she was diagnosed with uterine cancer at 18 years old in the lab.
Wow.
Oh.
Well, look, was she on Depo Provera? Was she on Depo Provera? Do you know?
I don't know. I literally don't know. But I think I'll put it like this. She may have been held because I do know her mother, you know, had her on something. And I'm going to find out and see. But I do know the mother used the powder, because down south, I did it with my boys. That's the way we did it, because it was so hot down here.
So hot.
And we used so much of it.
Yeah. Girl, that was a staple. Like when you buy flour, dishwashing liquid, powder, deodorant, toothpaste. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Who didn't shop like that down here in the South?
I'm telling you, it's part of the ticket, part of the list.
Let me ask Brother Brown. Did you powder down there too?
Yeah, we do powder. I mean, it was a common staple in the black household.
Yeah.
It was just something that people bought. Yeah. You know, we didn't know any difference. And, you know, when you use things like that on an everyday basis, you have no inclination that it's going to come back to haunt you.
No.
You know what? I'll say this. Even though we use the talcum powder, I have a real problem with fragrances now for smelling them. They cause me to get very ill. And I try to teach people about that. And guess what they'll tell you in a minute? Oh, I want to buy this to smell good. You have all kinds of carcinogens in fragrance products. Room deodorant. All of that stuff
shampoos.
Is the same thing. It is they're carcinogens. And yes, they tell you that. And people keep using them anyway, and they know. But, you know, we're talking about the talcum powder that we used to use, but there are things people just decide they're going to use it, even room deodorant. Those plug-ins, that spray stuff on your clothes, Febreze. Let me tell you, those are killers. But people use them. And you know who use them more than anybody? Blacks, Hispanics, Africans.
Yeah, because that's what they sell in the dollar store, general dollar store, Dollar Tree.
Right.
At a low, low price. You can have the Febreze kind or, you know, or the Targets, even the Targets, okay? All of these types of stores in our communities. I'm on this website, Drug Watch, and it says, did you develop ovarian cancer after using talcum powder? You can get a free case review. Talcum powder lawsuits for years. Medical professionals knew that talcum powder was dangerous for babies and children to breathe. Now women claim in lawsuits that the fine powder products gave them ovarian cancer. They're taking action against Johnson & Johnson, the pharmaceutical giant and talcum powder distributor. 844-452-6767 844-452-6767 is the number that you can call, or you can go onto the drugwatch.com webpage. So, but we'll pick back up on that topic along with the Depo Provera. Thanks for sharing that story, Delta, in your comments, Icy Hot. And Brother Brown, you said you used some down there too. Scotty, did you use it down there? I wonder if Scotty's on the line.
I remember using baby powder. Is that the same thing?
Yeah. Was it comprised of talcum?
Baby powder does have talc in it.
Yeah.
They used to use a lot of talcum powder in the barbershops. You know, when you go to the barbershop after you get your hair cut, the barber used to always have
talcum powder.
He'd put it in the brush and put it around
your
neck.
To wipe off the hair.
Oh, she did. Right, right. Mm-hmm. So baby powder is talcum powder. They just say baby powder just like they say Kleenex, you know.
So, right, so did either of you, like, apply the talcum powder or baby powder, like, on your chest, like in the summertime to keep cool?
Yeah, when I was a young boy, I used to do it.
I mean, I would put them on inside my drawers, you know, to kind of keep the sweat, you know, when
we're
playing sports and stuff.
Oh yeah.
So you would take the little powder and shake it down there, hold your underwear, shake it.
Yeah.
And you know, like I know, I did too. That's how I know how to describe it, because we all did it. Most of us did. If you lived in the South somewhere, if it was hot, you would do that. So, I mean, because it was so hot, and especially for women, you know, you have to keep it fresh there in that area. Your genitals. So, I mean, gosh, we apply so much powder to us. But thanks for sharing and being so open, guys. Let's talk about this walking down the street, and then we'll get into some more hot topics here at the Lotus Place. So you want to pick back up on your walking down the street? Walking down the street? We need some walking down the street music.
All right. So basically what I'm getting at is that here of late, we've seen a lot of
killings, you know, on TV. They're like, what did you call it? Snuff films. I mean, really.
Oh, snuff films. Right.
Since when was it okay to show a person being killed in cold blood on TV?
Being killed.
You know? And then you show it over and over and over again, right? For the shock and trauma.
And for people that don't know what a snuff film is, if you don't mind me interjecting here.
Sure,
for people that don't know. Brother Brown, have you ever seen a snuff film, or do you know what snuff films are? I know you're from the streets.
Yeah, I know what it is.
So like snuff films.
Yeah, they show killings.
They show killings in the movies. And it's a pornographic. It's pornographic in nature.
That's right. And they show people that, you know, they got movies where I never really got into that type of thing because that's not my cup of tea. But I know people that do what it's like gory stuff, but it's also the sexual attitude.
Right.
And you know, it's gross. It's something that the human mind don't need to feed it into.
Right. Right.
No,
that's the whole
point.
And
I equated to like the lynchings, and when people were forced to see bodies just hanging from the tree, because many times people weren't allowed to pull those bodies down because of the imprint that it would leave in your DNA.
Right. Generation after generation.
Generation after generation.
Exactly.
And we're going to talk about generational abuse too when we talk about that, have our relationship abuse show. But okay, Brother Light.
Yes. Okay. So I'm glad you interjected that about what our ancestors had to view, because it's like a repeat that we're having to see this. And quite frankly, for myself, because I know how I am, when I hear about these killings, I don't want to watch it. I never did watch the gentleman that was choked. I just, when they said that he was Eric Garner choked on TV
in New York,
and that he was begging
that now,
I just couldn't. I didn't want that. Yeah. I didn't want that to be swallowed up in my psyche.
Yeah. And you did right.
So this is part of the programming that is being done to us, to our children, seeing our children being slung around by 300-pound men, a young girl being slung out of a chair, then a chair dragged across the room, then it's shown over and over again, you know, the little girl at the pool being dragged half naked with a little cute bathing suit on, you know, the policeman, all of this is done for a reason, you know. It's not like it's never been done before. And what I'm trying to say is this is nothing new. This is nothing new. Our black men have been wearing these coats that we see now for centuries. And our black women have been stitching these coats for centuries. So let us not get so wrapped up into like, oh, I can't believe they're doing this. Yes, we can believe it, because to understand the nature of the world in which we live in right now, we as African Americans must first understand the nature of the people who interpret the world for us. They're interpreting how they want us to see the world, and we have got to stop looking at the world as the way they want us to. These interpretations of reality have dictated how we function. We spend so much time trying to figure out what they've done, why they did it, what they're going to do next, what they're doing at the present moment, that we can't even come together in unity, as we mentioned the topic, to devise strategies
as to how we're going to survive, because they're going to be who they are. They have been this way for a long time. This oppressive system, shall I say, it's not they, it's the oppressive system has been this way for a while. So for us to feign shock and awe, it's a waste of time. We just need to figure out, come together, unified, and try to walk down a different street, because the street that we've been walking down, it's you know, we keep falling into the same hole. You feel me?
I feel you. Yeah, because you know, and a lot of that has to do with us not knowing who we are, and whenever any ethnic group of people try to fit into a society of people that you don't belong with, I call it an illusion of inclusion. We don't mix with them.
Right.
We don't. But why we keep trying?
Nope.
It's not. It don't work.
Nope.
Yes, don't work.
Nope.
And why are we trying to sit here and continue to, you know, and I was on a radio program today, I think Roland Martin's program to come out of D.C., and I was a call-in. But one of the topics was about this Electoral College. It was based upon slavery. They have never changed the system of letting you know that you are still a slave.
Right.
This conference has reached its maximum duration and will end in 1 minute.
Continue on,
Buzz
Brown.
Yeah, continue on. I'm sorry. We've been on all day. We don't have a time limit. It's just that I have to reset the conference after 5 hours, and we've been on actually about six. So give me just a moment, and I'll call back in. Let me see.
And
let me just end.
On, right?
No. I'm going to end the conference and call right back in. It will not hang up on you. I apologize for this.
Not a problem.
Okay. Sorry about that, listeners. Let me get connected right back to the conference line. It has like a 5-hour limit, and apparently we went over that limit, so it should connect us right back with no problem whatsoever, and our people should still be in the conference. So let me call in from my computer. Okay.
You are the first participant on the call. Please hold while we wait for the others to join.
Yeah,
I
hear you.
Okay,
we're back.
Hey, everybody. Namaste.
Okay.
Namaste, everybody. Namaste. Hello.
Okay, can you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, all right. Please continue. I apologize again for that.
Oh yeah,
no problem. We're back here at the Lotus Place, and Brother Brown, you are speaking on unity and us constantly going through the same old thing, walking down the same street as Aja's. It's Feather Light's point.
What I was saying was that, you know, we have a tendency to continue, like Sister Aja was saying. Why do we repeat a behavior when we know what the results are? And you know, we ask the same questions. The problem that we have is that when information is imparted to us, it's like we're stuck on stop. We can't we can't break away from those I call them habitual habits of slave mentality.
Exactly. Thinking with their mind.
If you kill the mind, the body will follow. And there's another phrase that I use. If you control a man's thinking, then you never have to worry about his actions. And we don't realize how controlled we are.
Yes.
We do not realize control we are, you know. And with this holiday season coming up.
Well, Brother Brown, could you just expound a little on what do you mean when you say that? Because some people may hear that and they're like, well, what does he mean we're controlled? So share some examples. And I know Feather Light can share some as well on that topic because people are controlled.
Well, right. One of the things we're controlled about, I don't like to be the dead horse, but one of them is religion. And the reason I say that is we are a spiritual people. They are not spiritual people. We possess melanin. We possess the pineal gland through melanin. We are special to the Creator, to the universe. We have a tendency to think that we need to be included with them because, see, when you don't know who you are, when you don't even have an inclination to be taught who you are, that is the problem. If you don't know, how can you teach the generation that's coming behind you? Then that means they're messed up. So now we got a generational curse because we refuse to stop trying to imitate the slave master's children and his descendants. And it wasn't for us. Now here we are living in the 21st century, and we still are practicing a behavior that took place over 2,000 years ago. There's something wrong with that picture. As much information as we have, you know, and I'm not even talking about the internet. I'm talking about books. I'm talking about DVDs. I'm talking about lectures where people can sit down like Dr. Wilson used to do. She never used nothing elaborate. She only used a blackboard and a piece of chalk. She didn't use a lot of fancy words. All her lectures were basically the same, but she got the point across. And she made it simple because what she told me in some of the meetings that we had, she said, if I expound on things that my people don't understand, don't make it plain to them, she said, it will look like I'm trying to talk over them. You don't talk over people when you teach them because everybody does not operate on the same wavelength and intellect. So you have to make things you have to make things plain and simple and showing our people how to come out from under this stuff. It's just like a curse. But when we when those of us who have been given the knowledge and wisdom and understanding to show our people how to come out, our people are so indoctrinated to being up under these people, these Europeans and Asians, that we can't for one element break away from. And it's almost like, okay, you teach a child when he's in the first grade the basics of 1, 2, 3, ABC. But when that child gets 18 years old, he ain't got no business not knowing 1, 2, 3 and ABC. And if he's still trying to learn his ABCs and his numbers from 1 to 10 at 18 years old, then it's either something wrong with the teacher or something wrong with the child. And that's where we are today. People have been, we have been spreading information to our people for years, not just me. I'm young. I look at Dr. John Henry Clark. I look at Dr. Ben. All these people that had communication with Dr. Wilson, these people have been doing this forever. And they laid the groundwork for Marcus Garvey, Henry Hubert Harrison. He was a man back in 1920, before Marcus Garvey had got here, was saying the same thing about what's going to happen to the black people. Nobody, you know, and he died young. This man died in his 30s or 40s. See, so the knowledge has been there. But like the sister just said, we have to stop allowing them to dictate to us what we learn and what we're not going to stay away from. They don't care. And what our ancestors let them do with this election, our ancestors had a part in the election. They let you see firsthand. Number one, your vote don't count. I don't care who tell you that. Your vote don't count.
How is that?
Number two.
How is that? How is that, Brother Brown? Because some people say, yes, my vote counts. I went to vote, and the popular vote, Hillary Clinton won, Donald Trump won electoral college votes.
Right, so because you look at, I'm going to give you a prime example. The swing states that they talked about, if you study American history, swing states were Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Florida, and I think North Carolina. Is that correct?
New Hampshire.
Right. Now,
Michigan.
Right. Well, when the Electoral College was in place, number one, there was no Michigan. But the purpose of the Electoral College was for the South to control the presidency, because slaves were only counted as part of the population when it came to vote. Not that you had a vote, but you were counted because the slave master owned you. He owned you. So that's why the majority of your first presidents in this country came from Virginia. The majority of them came from Virginia, because Virginia was one of the largest slaveholding states in the South.
So why do you say the vote doesn't count for people who are steadfast on voting, and particularly for local elections? Now, are you just saying the vote doesn't count at all, or the vote doesn't count when it comes to voting for the President of the United States?
In local elections, your vote count more because you are controlling the destiny of your own community.
Mm-hmm.
On a national level, you are not controlling anything.
Hey, Brother Brown, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back, okay? We're listening to the Lotus Place, and you can call in. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Before we go to break, I just sent you a text about that, because I can't see the board, and the board is messed up, and all you see is me. And it has us connected by audio, but I started a new conference. So if we can get everybody to hang up during this break, I'm going to play a little music for about a minute, hang up, and call right back into the board. Thank you.
Make sure it's some good music, Scotty, so I can sit here and dance, okay?
It's going to be uncopyrighted music, because we try to, we don't want them. We don't want them people that run the music industry coming after us. But, yeah, you're listening to the Lotus Place radio show, and we will be right back after this quick break. To the Lotus Place radio show on Black Talk Radio Network. Okay, Black Rose, we're back, but I only see you on the board.
You know what? I'm a show in my own self, so it is no problem. So the Lotus Place, we are back up and running here at the
Lotus Place on the Uber conference line, and you can call in 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025.
And I see we got Brother Brown back.
Yeah, we have Brother Brown.
Yeah, I'm back.
Brother Brown has joined us. And so we're talking about black unity and the election and people walking down the same street, doing the same thing over and over, the same actions, same activities, same old rotten folks, same old rotten life, not reaching your goals, which again, tonight we're talking about reaching your goals.
We have to learn how to be goal-oriented. And that's something that we haven't practiced. We haven't practiced being goal-oriented because our goals have always been to try to be in tune with what they're doing. We don't have goals.
Let's go back to where you ended, but with the you were talking
local
about
election.
The local election
is that if I live in a community in a precinct that's all predominantly black, that means that I can have a representative of my choice and I can dictate how he represents me. That's what I've been telling people for the last 20 years. Your local politicians that come from your community is what you have to deal with. Once that level broadcasts to the national level, it's all about money. It's all about money. The problem is we don't have the things necessary in place as a people to be included on the national level.
Well, let's let Feather Light jump in on that because I know she has some thoughts on this also. And Delta, Icy Hot. And then we want to hear from Scotty, too, on unity.
Okay. So my thoughts on unity is it goes like with the mind, like Brother Brown was saying. So many African Americans are on a collective mindset that is really beneath where we should be. We are thinking on a collective mindset as an inferior people who really cannot survive without the Europeans guiding us, telling us what we should be doing.
Imagine, right.
What we should be thinking. How we should be reacting. Someone was blatantly killed, shot in the head while he was reaching for a piece of paper. But calm down. We will get to the matter directly, and then the matter gets to nothing. Excuse me. So we experienced this over and over and over again. And then we are, many of us are being trained, other groups as well, not just African Americans, but they're being trained to accept this behavior like it is okay and let's find out what you're doing wrong. For one thing, you're going around and you're killing each other too much. You've got to stop this killing of your own people. And so therefore, a lot of us, we, instead of attacking what's really going on, this oppressive system, we're attacking ourselves. We're saying what we should and shouldn't be doing and pointing the finger, you know, back at ourselves. Anytime one of us steps out to speak up, like Beyonce or somebody like that, well, I really don't even like that hat that she wears. She thinks she's cute, and she wasn't doing all that when she had her butt all out. We do stuff like that. We attack each other instead of raising each other up. So we have got to change our collective mindset first before we can even think about unifying, because there's so many people who have been programmed and when we get to programming, I go in a different direction of religion, because a lot of people have such a tight hold on that religion. It's you know, I'm not going to go in that direction. The direction I'm going to go in is the media, because the media is so powerful in programming what a person should be thinking, what really happened from their point of view, and so many of us African Americans, we will believe this. We believe what the media is telling us, even though it has been shared with us. We have been informed.
Let's Featherlight, let's just signify that with corporate media, because we are the black media.
You are so right.
The identification there.
Corporate the media. Adjective. The media, I was just getting ready to say, the media that is owned by corporations, is owned by companies, is not public anymore, publicly owned anymore. That's why we are doing what we are doing as Black Talk Media, because we are spreading the truth, and we're giving our side of the story. Like I always say, when the lion tells
the black
story.
Perspective.
Yes, from the black perspective. So the media really has a lot of people's mind warped. And like the book said in 1984, like the book indicated in 1984, the media will control the minds of many, many people if we are not made aware. And that's what we have got to concentrate on. Pull away from this corporate media, because it's not in our favor. We've been shown that.
You mentioned the film and the book 1984. Just quickly, mm-hmm. could you just share with that? Because I think that's a great book or video, because you can always catch it on YouTube. 1984, the whole film, actually.
Right.
Or you can go to the library, Amazon, order the book. But what does that book deal with? What does it focus on?
This is a classic. It's been out for ages. I mean, I read it when I was in my early 30s, maybe not even 30 yet. But it's called 1984. This just goes to show how long it's been out. And it relates to what's going on now, that the media has taken over the control of the people, how they think. They even had thought police. If you're thinking a certain way, they can detect it. The TV, you were supposed to have the TV on constantly. You were not allowed to turn. In fact, there was no way you can turn your TV off. And they can watch you wherever you went. I mean, you may find a little corner. This man of the star, he found a little corner where the TV could not see what he was doing. But he also worked at this place where he put out the news. Okay, and it was his job to take the real truth out of the paper that was to be published to the people, and say, for instance, like rations for milk are going down to one pound a week or something like that. Rations for sugar going down to 1 pound a week. And so it was his job to like take that part out right there. Okay, that's true. Then he's supposed to say something like, rations for sugar are going up. Everybody should be happy, you know. And this is what people would read, and they go like, yay! You know, so they would just take whatever was being said to them, and there was no music allowed, no art, everything that would show it, bring you good emotions, anything that would set you apart. This was the life in 1984, and basically you were controlled by what they call Big Brother. Okay, so he
and
was
so
called
that's
Big
exactly
Brother.
What we're experiencing now, I would
exactly.
say.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. People are being controlled by the media. The media tells us what to think. Right. When TV, well, let me add just one more thing that's important. Mm-hmm. When TV became popular, the governments of different countries, the high people of different countries, they got together, Russia, Italy, all that. They got together and decided who would be the one to project to the world the culture of the people through media, through the TV. And it was decided that United States would be the one. And as you know, they started years ago, and I remember the exact show and everything when they started having TV shows on about gay people living together and having fun, and it's okay. This was like years and years, like 2004, I believe. And I said, aha, they're getting ready to condition us to accept gay people in a totally different way. And this, look at where we are now. Look at where we are now. We have, you cannot have a hit show, a hit movie, anything. You've got to have a gay part in there for it to be popular. Check it out, everyone. It has to ladies, to men, it's got to have some sort of homosexuality part in that for it to be really popular. And hey, see, Lady of Brokeback Mountain and gave it all that it was. I said, hey.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, so that's media. That's media programming.
And there was a movie that Will Smith played in years ago where he got in bed with a guy and kissed the guy in the mouth.
Really? I didn't see that one.
Yeah,
I can't think of the name of that film, but
I didn't see that one.
Because he's playing a con artist in that film. I can't recall the name of it right now, but
yeah, I saw I saw that mess. I said, well, what is this here? What is he doing in the bed with a man kissing?
Well, he said he was acting. That was a part of his role.
He sure was a part of his act.
Mm-hmm.
He played a good part.
All right, well, let's bring in Delta with a couple of hot topics. And then we want to hear Scotty talk about his version or his view of what unity is. Delta, you have some hot topics for us tonight?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Well, I would like to talk about in this Hattie state today, in the great old state of Minneapolis, Minnesota, the police where the young lady did the live filming of her boyfriend, and she live streamed him being shot and killed. I can't even call his name right now and see his face. But the police was charged today with second degree murder. So we all know that just a performance. They're gonna charge him, but he's not even going to be found guilty. They're just going to go through the routine. So he turned himself in today to be booked and charged in the great state of Minnesota. Now let's move right on to South Carolina with Dylan Rufio. Well, breaking news story. They have put Dylan Roof, all his stuff on hold right now. The trials and stuff. They trying to say Dylan Roof is mentally ill. So they trying to say that he's crazy. They may not even be able to go through a trial. Okay. All this is just ridiculous. Then, okay, we have another story in South Carolina where this black family had two kids of their own. They adopted five more family siblings. Okay, they got this show where when you do something great and you living in a home that's really small, somebody told them about this black family, and they went and built them a house, almost a 4,000 square feet home. Okay, after the house was built, it's all over the news today. It's breaking story, but this is why it's breaking story. Okay, they built them this house. After they built them the house, the foster parent and the black husband, they put the kids out of the house. They put all the kids out by a month or two later. They put all the kids out the house after the people build them the house. The young man said, the oldest boy of the siblings, two of the kids are grown and three of the children have been placed in different parts. Now, she legally adopted them. She got all this money for them. And now she went and took them back after she got everything she wanted. They bought her a minivan. She took the minivan and traded it in. The people donated so much money to her. She traded it in and went and bought her a Mercedes. But to say this, to say all that, is what I'm trying to say. Even though she was wrong, the white people has been doing it for years. Now, all the media, different, even the stars, are coming after this black family. Mm-hmm. And want this black family to be prosecuted. They want the house to be taken away from them and given to the kids. And they have a show to come on called The Rear, and it was on today. And the black girl, she's a comedy. I can't call her name right now. It just slipped my mind. She's on The Rear. And she said today that she was going to reach out to her family members, one of them, that's a lawyer, to see that these people be prosecuted. But what about all the white people? The white folks have made a business off of this. Now, don't get me wrong. The black family's probably wrong, but why should they be the scapegoat? They always want them to be the scapegoat. What about the other people?
Can I interject something right quick, Sister Dunnan? I love
okay.
you. Let me say this. Why are we focusing on things that we cannot change? And I understand about your hot topics, but, you know, I went to court yesterday, and I'm going to share this with the listening audience, and I'm going to be very quick. And here was a young man that had been violated his parole based on him being a sex offender when he never was a sex offender. These are things that we need to be trying to change. Stuff like that that's on TV, we can't change that. We have real problems in our community that deals with people being treated in the wrong manner. I just looked up a case before I came on the air about a young lady who was not treated right in jail. She was bipolar. When she got out, she killed herself. See, we got real problems. We have real serious problems. Stuff like that that deal with the entertainment world, that don't even faze me.
But this is not an entertainment world. This is a family member. This is a black family. So what I'm saying is, other families have this been doing it too. The white family. Why always the black folks have to be prosecuted?
Can I ask this question? This goes back.
Why do they always have to be the scapegoat?
Why do we? Can I ask you this question, Delta? Delta, let me ask you this question, because, New Abolitionist Radio, and I played a clip from this black woman, a doctor, PhD, whatever, okay, and today she was talking about on another black radio show, hey, black people, let's put our money together and let's make some money off of the enslavement of these Mexicans. Because Donald Trump, y'all just heard Donald Trump say he going to round up 2 to 3 million Mexicans and they're going to throw them in the jail. Let's black people get together and put our little money together and let's buy a jail and make some money off these Mexicans. And so as an abolitionist and me recognizing that this is legalized slavery and human trafficking, I had to call into that show, and I was trying to be as respectful as possible. Right. It was not my program, so, you know, but I always try to be respectful, even when I disagree with people. So I called on there. I was so angry, I couldn't even address her directly. So I just talked to the host, and I just told the host how disgusted I was to hear this woman, this lady, I called her, talk about black people, let's put our money together and make some money in modern day slavery and human trafficking off these Mexicans. And so then, but this is a woman who will talk about the enslavement. African American people. And those, so she gonna give her excuse, well, white people do it. Well, I said, so what? White people do it. So we supposed to do everything white people do. So white people practice slavery. We going to practice slavery too. She talking about, well, it's all about the money. That's what it's all about. Well, I said, don't you ever say nothing about Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Andrew Jackson, any of these racist crackers who enslaved black people because, hey, they were just making some money.
That's right. That's what they. That's all they were doing. So, you know, so the pack Delta. Can't call it. And my grandmama said, "The pack can't call the
kettle black." So Delta, that's all I'm saying is when people do wrong, yeah, we point out the racist system and how it treats black people differently, and we can't get away with what they get away with. But again, let's think, why we want to act like them? Why we want to be criminals? Why we want to steal? Why we want to enslave? Why do we want to commit fraud? And then act like people supposed to rally around them because they black and the white people get to do it and get away with it. Wrong is wrong. I don't care the color of the person. That's all I wanted to share.
Well, thank you, Scott, and you're exactly on point with that, because that is a problem. One thing about it is we forget that there are two separate laws for us. Brother Brown has discussed this several times, so I don't know why black people are always trying to run around and do something stupid because, Mr. White Man was doing it and then nothing happened to them, because the laws are created to assist them in whatever it is that they're trying to do, whatever their mission is, whether it's slavery, whether it's take your land from you and run a highway through it, or whatever, it doesn't matter. So the laws are written to help them. That's why we need to understand how to affect policy, because really those people having the children and having a home built and all that, and then want to put the children out, I could care less about them. Go to jail, I don't care, whatever. But, I mean, the point of the matter is, like Brother Brown said, there are other things, and I understand, like you said, the hot topic, but, I mean, black people got to quit thinking that they can run around here and do that and, help me out because they didn't do anything to him, Mr. White Man, but now look at me. No. No.
We don't play on the same ball field and the same ball team they play on. And that's what me and Sister Asia, Aja's point was earlier. We can't think like them. This is not our country.
We can't do those things.
Do what they do.
It's just okay, another case. Remember that case when the black officer, I think he took his baton and hit this little white boy or stomped him, something like that. They fired that man, charged him, but you got Darren Wilson. These people can't. They come into a mistrial with Sam DeBose. All of this. Eric Gardner. Look how long it's taken them. What's it? The crazy man Zimmerman. He's still running around acting a damn fool.
Mm-hmm.
But this black man, he didn't even kill that young boy. Fired him. And see, don't even get me going into how to act with these damn slave catchers. But that's what that is. All on that. I mean, hey, you can't do what they do and think you can get away with it. We had another case in Memphis, Tennessee. Politicians taking money, black politicians, city council, all of that, taking money.
All you have to do, in reference to them black politicians, all you have to do is read about the first period of Reconstruction when they had black politicians in the South, and at the end of the day, they were all eliminated from positions of power. And they all were eliminated based on corruption. There's a book, I think it's by Eric Foner, called Reconstruction. A very, very good, in detail book. I think it's about 600 pages and 500 pages.
You know
pages.
What? You can read the little small pamphlet, The King Alpha Plan, and it outlines how black politicians will eventually be picked and plucked and removed from office. Like they removed that politician, the black man, I think his name was Jefferson, in New Orleans, said he had $10,000 in his freezer. Well, a lot of people have $10,000 in a case in their home, a safe in their home, a freezer, or whatever. So, I mean, what's $10,000?
Ain't a whole lot of money.
No.
There ain't a whole lot of money.
Get out of town, it's a hurricane. I live in New Orleans kind of money for him.
And not only that,
what's wrong with whatever he was doing? What's wrong with the $10,000? The $10,000 they had.
And what we don't see is that when they do something, and you know, we try to copy them, thinking that, well, we can use that card on them. It don't work for us. So the moral of that story is, excuse my language, don't do it, damn it.
Don't
try
I
to
like
do it.
That needs to be a song. Don't do it, damn it. Don't do it.
Yeah, because
don't
you
do
ain't
it,
gonna,
damn it.
I mean, why are you looking for fair treatment? Why are you looking for fair treatment to justify you doing a wrong?
Mm-hmm.
It don't work like that.
Well, let's let Delta move on to our next hot topic, and I want to hear from Scotty.
Okay, and also there's a breaking news story. It was on Roland Martin this morning. Also, they had a black teacher in South Carolina. He's a history teacher, and he has a master's degree, and he was doing a history class, and he was doing a history class on about the American Revolution and about the flag and everything. So the teacher did an illustration, which is a black man. He did an illustration, and he stepped on the flag to show that, you know, what he was trying to do. And so when he stepped on the flag, the two white kids videoed him. Now they took him down from his job and trying to fire him. And he was really teaching a history lesson. He was doing a reenactment of the history lesson. So now they're trying to fire him. And the superintendent that told him that if he keep his job, if he don't be fired, he gonna have to work in the warehouse, and he will work in the warehouse. He will never go back in a classroom. So then the guy said this morning, he said the same superintendent that's trying to fire him, he just came from Florida because they was firing him. So he left Florida to keep from being fired. So the young man said, I worked all my life and got a master's degree to teach. And this is what they're going to do to me, all because the white folks didn't like the illustration that he was using to teach his history class. So then they're going to have a rally for him on November the 30th. And they asking everybody to call in and write and reach out to that to the governor of that state in different ones. And that's my last hot topic for today.
That happened in North Carolina. Yeah, that happened in North Carolina in one of the little chip and switch towns. But what happened was, you know, this man, he like he said that, you know, he's got a master's degree. But, see, we're coming into a climate, and I mentioned this earlier about our ancestors. Our ancestors are trying to tell us that we are not included in these white folks' systems. So what they're doing is that they're turning the leash on us, you know, like you unleash a dog and let him go wild. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing to these elements of white supremacy and racism. Since we won't adhere to our ancestors, since we won't learn, since we won't buckle down and say, guess what? I'm done with this white man system. I'm going to learn my own system. I'm going to control my own destiny through my ancestors, and I'm going to see how far I'm going to get with this. We won't learn that.
No.
So there are going to be many. There are going
to
be many ancestors
trying to work within a system that's built to work against us.
That's right.
What you're saying, Brother Brown.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's not our system. And like I tell people every day, we're dealing with an illusion of an inclusion. It's an illusion for us to be included with them. That's all it is. Anytime
we're working against the universe.
Right, we're working against the universe. And if you work against the universe and you work against nature, that's like Sister Asia said a while ago, there's no cosmic energy there.
No cosmic energy.
It revolves around cosmic energy. There's no energy. Once they put this LGBT, LGBT community orientation in our minds that we have to accept this behavior. That's the end of our, that's the self-inflicted genocide that our people don't see. How are you going to create something with two men and two women?
Brother Brown, hold that thought, because Scotty said that he also wanted to share something with us, and then we'll pick back up. Scotty, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
You have some thoughts on unity?
Yeah, my thoughts on unity, I was really thinking about this when you sent me the email about your topic because of what I heard that black woman say this morning about she had no problem with profiting off of modern day slavery on the backs of Mexicans, non-white people, and what have you. So this is what I'm saying, that I have always preached that I don't think that there is any possibility of 100% unity among any people. Even white people ain't unified on the same things and what have you. And so I feel like many of us are chasing a pipe dream if we think we're going to be able to unify with everyone. Because I have certain values, I have a certain ethical code that I will not violate for anyone. And just to give some examples, for example, a couple of years ago, I had some people reach out to me because I do try to highlight cases of wrongful convictions and things of that nature. Some of the people we have highlighted, like the Scott sisters, like Devontae Sanford, have actually gotten out of prison. So a lot of people reach out to me because of that, to highlight these stories. So I had these people reach out to me and said that it was these black men, and they had created this software program so that police departments and the FBI and law enforcement can talk to each other, all right, in terms of warrants, you know, arresting people and updating the systems. And so they had gotten charged with fraud somehow, like for their company, like they were engaging in some kind of fraud. Now, I don't know if they was engaged in that fraud or not, but I was thinking, look, you was out here trying to build a better mousetrap to help these racist crackers put more people into slavery, to help the slave system become more efficient. I just don't feel comfortable. I think you need to sit there in prison and think about what you did and how you was going to put other people in the help these slavers put other people in the position you now find yourself. So I didn't highlight the case. And so, you know, there are just like the woman this morning. I cannot get with you. I cannot work with you. We don't have the same moral values. And then I'm also finding, like, I'm going through something behind the scenes with a well-known person in the so-called conscious community. This ain't no young person. This an elder, okay, who started a movement and had these grand designs about unifying black folks under this platform. I'm not going to put it out in public yet. Then, so this person, I found that this person approached me about doing a radio program. So I tell them what the prices is. I said, I support your movement. What y'all trying to do, I'm going to give you a 25% discount. Okay, they were only going to do a show on the weekends. So then get me on a conference call after that discussion about 12 hours a month on Black Talk Radio. We already, you know what the price is. I'm gonna give you a 25% discount. So anyway, this person come to me again like a day later saying, you know, got me on a conference call with some other people and said, you know what, we gonna do 48 hours a month and Brother Scotty gonna give us a discount. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, Brother Scotty already giving you a discount. And you're talking about 48 hours? That's a lot longer than 12 hours. So I will get back to you with an invoice. So I gave him sent him another invoice with a 25% discount. This person paid the invoice. Then next thing I know, I didn't already start at work. Next thing I know, this person is now saying, well, I don't want to pay that much. I want to pay cheaper. And I'm saying, you already getting a deal. And you ain't going to go to no other black radio platform that reaches many people as we do, because I provided you with our statistical data that we send out every month, and going to pay them $10.41 an hour to be on nobody's radio station. In fact, the people you contacted before you contacted me said that it costs $2,500 for some special equipment that they were going to put in your house, and then, you know, you were going to be on their network. Well, when they didn't show up with this, I don't know what cost $2,500 that you need to do internet radio, but when they didn't show up, then you came to Brother Scotty. Brother Scotty wasn't your first choice, even though he has supported your movement financially by sending in donations as well as promoting your movement. But then, so when this person started dealing with me like that, I was like, and I said this to this person. I said, you know what? I'm not going any cheaper. You already paid the invoice. That ain't but $10.41 an hour is what you paying. That ain't even a living wage, bro. I'm like, we got people out here in the street fighting for $15 an hour. And you talking about helping my people, but you trying to make me be your damn slave. It's like you telling me you don't care about my bills. You don't care about how much it costs me to do what I'm doing through our platform. You just don't care. What you want is dirt cheap service, and that's all you care about. And I told him no. So what did, but this person already paid the invoice. So this person going to go to my people I use PayPal and tell them that this is fraud, that I didn't authorize these charges. I looked up the credit card chargeback code, and it talks about fraud. And I told that person, I said, why you going to them white folks lying on me? Like I committed fraud against you or something, or like somebody stole your credit card and paid this invoice. I said, I got the emails of us talking about the service, and then you emailing me saying I paid for it. So how you going to go to them crackers and lie on me like that and lie on my organization like we cheating people? And so I ain't heard nothing else from this person. But I had been putting out there that this was a good movement and all of that. I was going off of somebody else's word that this about this man's character. He well known. And I'm like saying to myself, well, I'm talking to the other person who introduced me to them. I'm saying, he was like, I can't believe he did you that way. And I was like, yeah, man. So I'm not down with that movement no more, and I'm not promoting it no more, because this man doesn't have any ethics. He talking about he care about black people and trying to lift black people out of poverty and all this and that and supporting black businesses. Well, how is a black business supposed to grow and be able to hire other black people if everybody want to play below market rates for the service, if everybody want to hook up? I told him I am not some Negro on the street selling bootleg DVDs. I am a legitimate business, sir, providing a legitimate service. And for you to treat me like this is very disappointing. And then that just reinforced to me, all skin folk ain't kin folk. They can get on the radio and put forth this public face and be all conscious and say all the right things, but until you have some personal dealings with them, you don't know who you dealing with. All right, so that's right. Why I'm saying that it's just impossible for me to unify with everybody, because I have certain ethics and a moral code that I was raised with that I'm not willing to violate for anyone. So those are my thoughts on black unity.
And the bottom line, my brother, is that, you know, we don't see it like that. You know, when we see things, and like I tell people all the time, a lot of things, because I might be a little older than some of them, and I've been out there doing a whole lot of stuff, a lot of things that I see come back at me, and I don't care who do them. And it's not about hating the other person. It's about understanding opportunities. We have a lot of opportunities. We have a caller, too, that wants to share something. Yeah.
Let's take this caller quickly before we get ready to close out. Caller, we all be, what's up? Namaste.
Hey, sister, how you doing, everybody? How you doing? Really enjoying
doing
the program.
Well.
Yeah, I just want to call in because it's an important topic. Y'all doing such a great job over at Blacktop Radio. I love this place. I've been listening, you know, the last several months. Y'all been very consistent, and it's very much needed, because Brother Malcolm pointed out the most important thing, that media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet. because it controls the minds of the masses. And you look at what Donald Trump was able to do. He basically ran a Fox News campaign. He ran a Fox News presidential campaign. The white folks whisperers were Roger Ailes, the creator of Fox News, that was one of his assistants, one of his whisperers, and also Steve Bannon from Breitbart News. So you see the power of the media to in order to shape the narrative and to control the story. And look at what's going on with us as black people. It seems like in this system, we always try to blame the victim. The victim blames the victim. It's always your fault. Well, in reality, we're not a part of this system. Black folks are not a part of this system. Voting and all this stuff, that's white folks' business. What's going on in Syria, what's going on in Iran, that's white folks' business. What's going on in South Side of Chicago, what's going on in Ferguson, that's black folks' business. And when it comes to unity, we can all agree upon one thing. That we could agree upon one issue. We got to be a one-issue people. Because we've been so messed up by the system, as far as our mindset, we have no idea who we are. Because black is just a color in a crayon box. It's not a nationality. And you look at how everybody rally around their power is in their nationality, in their mother tongue, in their ethnic origins, in their group think, in their group identity. It's like what Whitney Young said so many years ago, the president of the Urban League back in the 60s. We need to study Whitney Young. Now he was able to get millions of dollars out of Lyndon B. Johnson, as well as $28 million out of Richard Nixon before he died under mysterious circumstances in Nigeria back in 1971. We need to study him. We need to study Mary McLeod Bethune, who created an institution with less than $2 in the bank. We need to study Booker T. Washington, who was the special guest that Dave Chappelle talked about of Theodore Roosevelt on October 16, 1901. He was the first black person to sit down to eat dinner with a president. And then white people code, when you invite somebody to dinner, to the table, that means you equal. And Theodore Roosevelt's interest because he had two uncles that were Confederates that had to escape and stayed in England, but he used to come over and sneak and visit the family. So he was a complex person, but he thought that Booker T. Washington was worthy enough to sit down and eat with him at the table. He actually was hesitant to send out the invite to Booker T. Washington, but he thought about it, so I'm going to send it out anyway. And so it's a thing that happened, white lash, with Van Jones talking about white lash. They actually, crackers actually wrote in the newspaper, they had a poem called Niggas in the White House. Google that up, Niggas in the White House poem. And it talks about that incident. And, you know, this is a time when black folks were getting lynched every day in this country. And for them to do that was powerful. Scott Joplin, the father of ragtime, he wrote an opera about it called The Guest of Honor, but it's been lost to history. What I'm saying is, who is Dave Chappelle? His mama is an educator. She's worked with Patrice Lumumba. She was working with Patrice Lumumba in the Congo on educational curriculum.
His mom's an activist.
Yeah, so Dave Chappelle not just an entertainer, he's an educator. He comes from a family of educators.
Mm-hmm.
That's power. You know, so you look at all that, and that Will Smith movie was 6 Degrees of Separation. That's the movie, 6 Degrees of Separation, where he pretended to be Sidney Poitier's son. It's based on a true story. And well, I'm looking at right now.
Separation. That's right.
Yeah,
that's the movie with Will Smith and in the bedroom.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. In the bedroom.
Somebody will call in and give us that answer.
But here's the thing: the white woman showed the black woman something. The black woman who knew what the white woman was up to was Fannie Lou Hamer. Fannie Lou Hamer didn't know she could vote till she was in her 40s. She lived on a plantation all her life, but she knew the white feminist was up to no good when it comes to the black movement. Because the civil rights movement, the real trinity is the man, the black man, woman, and child. Studying the Montgomery bus boycott movement to understand what I'm saying, to understand what I'm saying. Study Project C Birmingham in 1963 to understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying, we don't need white people. All white people are racist. Every single last white person is a racist. They could be a nice racist. They could be a kind racist. They're still a racist.
Okay? That's what they didn't understand about
civil rights supremacist racist.
Hillary Clinton was a passive racist. Donald Trump was an active racist. They're both racist.
Right, but Hillary was an active racist too, though. You got to think about it. She was a Barry Goldwater girl, and she was flipped by Sal Alinsky, the community organizer who was a mob guy.
She flipped the script in her later years when her husband when she married a Democrat. See, they can switch parties. They don't switch ideas. We don't understand that. They can be a Democrat today and a Republican tomorrow. They don't care.
That's true.
As long as they on top in this country.
That's what Bernie Sanders did.
The Democrats, the plan was
talking
about the Democrats.
And then he switched Democrats so he could run a Democrat.
That's right. He did.
But the Democrats did more damage to us than any other party in the country. The Democrats started the Klan. The guy who's buried on that horse statue in Memphis, Nathan Bedford Forrest, he was a Democrat.
That's
he
right.
He was a proud Democrat. Andrew Johnson, right. who took back our 40 acres of the mule, he was a Democrat.
That's right.
The Democrats signed the Southern Manifesto in 1956, said we'll do whatever it takes to stop black folks from being integrated into our system. Look up the Southern Manifesto of 1956. We had 101 politicians on the Hill, 99 Democrats, and 2 Republicans that signed that manifesto. The only 3 senators who did not sign that manifesto were Democrats, were Lyndon B. Johnson, Estes Kefauver, and Al Gore Sr. Those are only 3 Democratic senators that signed that bill or their manifesto.
We can even go to the Democratic governor. What's the name? The one over in Michigan before this other idiot. Jennifer Goldham.
Canada. Yeah.
She was the one that took that land, Bell Harbor, made it state land. She was the one that took a lot of the land from the black people there in that Benton Harbor area, Detroit,
right.
all of that. Democrat. And that was just recently. When was she mayor?
Right.
Like 2012 2002, I think, or something like that. But Democrat, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, those parties are the same. They're just people that switch around and play around with us. And that's the whole premise of politics or politricks, as some people call it, because it's all trickery, it's all games, it's all corporate media. Donald Trump was able to have free media just doing whatever. He'll exchange favors or whatever falls his media time. Every time I open up my laptop, it's Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, a story on Donald Trump, Donald Trump. It's ridiculous. And it just controls us. Well, it don't control me.
It keeps your mind. See, that's where the illusion I talk about. It keeps your mind from being focused on the reality of you being an African person. If I sit down all day and worry about this cracker and what he gonna do and what move he make every day, his wife is a whore and his wife was stripping naked, who in the hell cares?
Well, let me ask our caller this. So, R2C2H2,
mm-hmm.
How did you feel when Donald Trump was named as president-elect? Did you feel like, oh my God, my life is going to end? I can't be who I am, who I came here to be. My life is over. I'm scared. Or did you feel like, it's another day, or what?
It never makes a difference who's president in the White House for black people. We never had a president that did any damn thing for us. I mean, we never had a president that did anything for us. None of them. They lied on Kennedy. Lyndon B. Johnson gave us a better civil rights bill than 64, and the Democrats voted against it. It was Republicans that passed that bill, the civil rights bill in 64. There ain't no president ever did a damn thing for black people, and I was happy because we was at our best when they forced us to work together. When they forced us to live together, we was at our best.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the Negro Leagues. The Negro Leagues were making way more money than the Major Leagues, but they used Jackie Robinson as a Trojan horse, like they used Black Lives Matter to undermine black liberation. Because Jackie Robinson came out the only team that was owned by a white man, the Kansas City Monarchs. Dale Wickerson was friends with Branch Rickey.
That's right.
It was all about money. It was never about morality. We always trying to plead to white folks morality. They don't care about morality. Their only religion is military, science, and money and finance.
That's it.
That's their only religion. They don't care about that. They'll pimp their mama out. They won't even let their mama vote to 1920. The white woman is the white man's bottom bitch. And they use the black woman sometimes as the mistress. But the black woman got a wake-up call. Like, family, you know, you saw how many black women voted for Hillary and all the white women. They put race before gender. Because it's about survival. It's about self-preservation.
Well, that's what Frances Ellen Harper used to say back in the 1800s. And she said that the color folk need to stick together and vote together. Because they were all about their black men, their brethren having the vote, because they voted as a block. They voted as they will vote as a unit,
mm-hmm.
And we've always been like that. We weren't complaining about, ooh, let me work, ooh, give me some rights to work, because we were already working.
We've been working
as in some capacity. Anyway, so, but thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, Ron. We really appreciate
you. Thank you for the platform.
Yeah,
I also want to say this. They love Donald Trump, but they hate Bill Cosby. They love Donald Trump, but they hate Bill Cosby.
Speaking of Bill Cosby,
think about that.
God, I meant to bring up Bill Cosby. So Bill Cosby has now
been what acquitted of all charges. The case was dismissed. I believe the case was dismissed, right? I really had to just abstain from reading a lot of news, but I mean that just kind of got like washed under the whole election piece. So did anybody see that? After all this, after destroying Bill Cosby with these charges, which I mean I wasn't there. I don't really know, but I know that what was it? The Cosby Show was not aired on several stations. Netflix was going to start airing the Cosby Show, and then all of these women came out and said that he had sexually assaulted them. So has anyone seen the story on Bill Cosby? Everybody was wrapped up in the election. Hello?
Yeah, I heard something to the... I looked at a clip that said... it was something like, you know, what about Bill Cosby? And somebody said, well, now that all of the hype is over with, there will be no criminal charges placed against him. Once again, this is how they control your mind. They brought all that shit out about that man. You had 99 white women get up there and a couple of black women and he did this. Well, guess what? It take two to tango. And if he did all of this years ago, I mean, why are y'all just coming out now and trying to say to everybody, oh, he's the worst person on this planet? Now, after everybody has been disillusioned about this whole mess called the election, now Bill Cosby acquitted of all charges.
That's actually incorrect. I just pulled it up on the tablet, and the news reports are saying the judge refused to dismiss his sexual assault charges.
Yeah.
That's what it's saying. So he's still facing these charges. But I don't really care about Bill Cosby, and I'm going to tell you why. Because he said all what he said about our poor black brothers and sisters in the urban areas and talking about the Ebonics and mocking them and saying, why are you protesting and all of that. So this is like karma, you know. But again, some, I actually know one of the alleged victims. I worked with her and interviewed her when she was putting together a march for Ayanna Jones in Detroit. Her name escapes me right now, but when she met Bill Cosby, she was real, real young. Jewel Allison is her name, Jewel Allison. And he really did do that to some of them women and some of them black women. When he got in Hollywood and he hanging around with Hugh Hefner at the Playboy Mansion and all that, see, he thought he could do what them crackers do. He emulating them crackers' behavior. So here we go. Here we go. White people thinking they can get... black people thinking they can get away with the criminal acts because white people do them and what have you. Mm-hmm. But on the Donald Trump, I'm keeping my eye for December when he will be in a federal courtroom facing charges as the co-defendant of a convicted pedophile billionaire by the name of Jeffrey Epstein, where this white girl is suing him for raping her and beating her when she was 14 years old. And she just now
December
coming
16th.
Forward. Yep, that's what I'm waiting on.
December 16th, exactly.
Now, I did bring that
the
up.
President.
Where they did this to Bill Cosby. Again, I wasn't in the room. If Bill Cosby did what he did, he did what he did. He got to pay the piper, okay? But I did note, wait a minute. If you can go back all these years and charge Bill Cosby, okay, why isn't anyone charging Donald Trump? Where the criminal charges against him? I don't care if the charges did happen in the 90s, 20 years ago. The statute of limitations don't run out for rape of a child and stuff. And then you got witnesses in that case coming forward saying they saw him having sex with a 12-year-old at these apparently sex parties this billionaire convicted pedophile was having in New York.
Well, and see, that's a part of that lifestyle of some of these politicians and some of these priests. It's all ritualistic.
And you can pull up several videos on YouTube that talk about or show you how they have these child pedophilia rings. So that's very, very common with them. That's why sex trafficking is talked about so much. These people know exactly what they're doing. Let me tell you, here in Houston, I love to go to these foot reflexology places. But some of them, you will go to them and you'll stand there and nobody will come to the door, or either they'll look at you and they'll say, maybe not here, maybe we can't do all of this shady kind of stuff. So you have to be really careful, because some of them are actual legitimate foot reflexology places, and some of them are sex trafficking places. So I went to two yesterday and received the same response right over here in my little neighborhood. And so they have a lot of these young children that they bring in. That's why they will never, ever, they'll talk all that trash about immigration, and they don't want these people over. Yes, you do. You want these people to come over here so that you can pay them nickels and dimes to work, and you want to use the children as sex slaves, as you've always done, even with our children. We talked about that when we talked about Frederick Douglass being a child slave. So this happened. It continues to happen. It happens in the case like what Mother Dunham mentioned, with these people that adopt these children. God knows what they're doing to these children. They go all around the world adopting children and bringing them back. Because those
I'm going to say this before we get off. This girl that wrote that book, The New Jim Crow.
Jill Alexander.
Right. She was the understudy of the Jew that came from Cleveland that helped promote that bill while Bill Clinton was in office. He was a senator, a congressman from Ohio. And, you know, she worked with him and helping, I forgot what she was doing, but she was right under his wing when he orchestrated that bill to take black people children. We got a case right now I'm working on right up here in Maryland about Kinship.
What was his name, Moneyhand? Moneyhand Delta, you know. Wasn't that Moneyhand?
He was a Jew. I have his name for you on the next program we do. I'll find it out, and I have his name on the next program and have exactly what he did. But he was very instrumental in helping her do the research for that book and everything. And I'm light-scattered. You can't play double standards. You might get rich by writing a book, and the book may be authentic, but you can't play with the devil. And that's what he is. Elijah Muhammad named him right. They're devils. You can't play in ballpark. You can't play on his team. You have to learn how to use him through your spirituality and make sure you get something out of the deal by your ancestors, because we're going to have to reverse the game on them, because the game ain't been played right.
It hasn't been played right, and we don't know how to play the game. And when we do figure out how to play the game, they change the rules. See, that's what we were taught when we were coming up.
The
person that you're speaking about, his name is Daniel Patrick Moneyhand. That's the American sociologist, and he wrote The Negro Family, The Case for National Action, and you're not talking about him, because I remember reading about him when we were studying Mother Dunham's case.
I know Moneyhand. Yeah, I remember
Daniel Moneyhand.
It was another cracker, but I can't remember.
Okay. Yeah, it's another one. I know the name if I hear it too. It's not Moneyhand. I miss that one.
Okay.
He's a Jew.
I misspoke on that.
I'm a Jew.
Okay. Also, before we close out, I want to put out the question. Mother Hattie and I were talking about this last week. We want to know, like, if you know, or are you, or have you ever taken the drug Depo-Provera? We did not get a chance to play that clip tonight with Dr. Short being interviewed.
Do you want me to play it?
Yes, that would be great if we could play it.
Hey, could I do 2 seconds here or something? This is just for Miss. Yeah, okay, Brother Brown. This is just for you. And this is from Jomo Kenyatta. I was looking at it the other day, and I said, I got to save it for you. It says, when the missionaries arrived, the Africans had the land, and the missionaries had the Bible. And he said, they taught us how to pray, with our eyes closed, and when we opened them, they had the land and we had the Bible.
There you go.
Yes, I've read that right. before.
Now we don't have no land and we ain't got no Bible neither, so we lost on all the ends. We ain't got nothing but the Bible.
That's what it says. That's what you, Brother Brown.
Bishop Desmond Tutu said the same thing, but he got it from Yomo Kenyatta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what happened.
I heard Stokely Carmichael say that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go ahead, close your eyes and thank you praying. Thank your praying to somebody. If you want them, when you wake up, you don't know what you're gonna have.
Free the land. I want the land. Give me my land. Free the land.
Okay, I have the clip up for you.
Okay, so this is a clip about Depo Provera, the dangers of Depo Provera, and that's a birth control. And many of our young people have been forced on this Depo Provera, or it's been marketed to young people as a birth control, but it's very dangerous.
Please look this up before I play this clip. Please look this story up. I've reported on it in the past. But Israel has an Ethiopian Jewish population. Again, I don't know why people think that Jews is some kind of racial classification. It's a religious classification. It can't be a racial classification, or else you wouldn't have white Jews and you wouldn't have black Jews. You know, so anyway, the Ethiopian population that lives in Israel as Israeli citizens had their population numbers cut in half in 10 years because they were giving Depo Provera shots to these women and weren't telling them what they were shooting them up with. The Israeli government has admitted to this. And then they also, with African refugees fleeing war-torn areas in northern Africa, they keep them locked up inside of Israel and will only let the women out if they agree to taking these Depo Provera shots and stuff. It's all about population control. So please look that up if you think this is a joke. It is not.
Right. So if you know of someone or if you have taken Depo Provera, please contact us at the Lotus Place Radio Show at gmail.com.
For several years, the Israeli government was forcibly administering birth control to a segment of its minority population, with doctors injecting Ethiopian Jewish women against their will with a contraceptive, Deprovera. But it wasn't until this January that a government official finally acknowledged it. One investigative journalist who interviewed 35 Ethiopian immigrants found that they were being intimidated and threatened into taking the shots, while being told that they were merely inoculations. But many speculate it was all part of a deliberate attempt to restrict an expanding minority in the country. You see, over the last two decades, Israel has experienced a significant influx of Ethiopian immigrants, but they're now being close to 130,000 living in the country. And while the government has finally put an end to this inhumane, insane population control tactic, the story has shed a light on a dangerous contraceptive that's now being pushed and administered on women of color all over the world, including right here in the U.S. So here to talk about the use of Depo Provera and how this is targeting minority populations in both here and abroad, I'm joined now by Randy Short, president and national spokesperson for the Anti-Depo Provera Clergy Coalition. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So Israel allegedly put this to an end. Can you talk about what you know about the health effects, though? Because obviously women were being administered this for years without knowing about them.
Well, the drug was first patented in 1959. By the middle 60s, there were a lot of unethical experimentations done, in particular the Grady Clinic study in Georgia on poor black and poor white women. God knows how many people died. This drug did not get approved until 1993-94, but during that time, that was used on women all over. The effects of it are serious: excessive bleeding, osteoporosis, breast cancer, cervical cancer, heart attack, stroke, ectopic pregnancies, excessive weight gain, which can lead to type 1 or 2 diabetes, short or long-term infertility, maternal death, It strips the epithelium, the inner part of the woman's womb, making her more susceptible to all STIs and STDs, therefore doubling the chances of getting HIV, AIDS, chlamydia, HPV, gonorrhea, or syphilis. And there are other things that bothers the mental health. One of the things that's come to us, that the group that I work with, the Rebecca Project, is that many women are telling us that they've had mental problems. The FDA in 2004 was so concerned about the dangerous nature of Depo-Provera that they issued a black box warning, which is the most serious warning that can be issued by the FDA about how dangerous this drug is.
And despite this warning, this black box warning, it's still being administered under multiple agencies to multiple countries around the world.
Yes.
Who is administering it? Why? And where?
Well, it's being used primarily in non-white countries. So Muslim countries, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Indonesia, Burma, possibly on the Myanmar minority, all over Africa, Central America and Latin America, and of course the United States, depending on whose information you look at, it's disproportionately used on African American women. Who's doing it? Planned Parenthood is one of the big purveyors of it. In addition to that, you have the Population Council, you have the International Federation of Planned Parenthood, you have a lot of persons and groups that have a Malthusian view that there are too many people, and therefore they want to reduce the population. They know this drug is deadly, it's cheap, and it makes huge profits for the parent maker, which is Pfizer.
And USAID is also one of the agencies as well.
For 47 years, it's been an unofficial policy of the USAID Office on Population to use or to send abroad dangerous, unsafe, untested, or unapproved drugs.
And you said that this is being obviously disproportionately affecting minority populations.
Yes.
If they know that it's deadly, why would they be administering it to minority populations? I mean, what is really this all about here?
There are too many non-white people. If you look at a gentleman by the name of Dr. Ravenholt, who was head of the USAID Office on Population from about 1966 until 1979. He was able to first convince President Johnson that it was in the national and commercial interests of the United States that one-fourth of the women in the developing world be sterilized. So there's some sense that if there are too many black or brown people, that somehow their needs will conflict with the capitalistic, imperialistic aims of the United States and its allies.
And there's been multiple lawsuits against Pfizer for the detrimental health effects from this drug, but they seem to be getting away with it and seem to keep, you know, direct-to-consumer advertising. How are they doing this?
Well, they're making a lot of money. The U.S. Department of Justice has sued them in the last 10 years and fined them about $6 billion. But if you're making billions and billions, it's the price of doing business. But you have to understand, the people that are being steered towards this drug are poor, they lack education and legal representation, and they're being tricked, so they don't know. Now, you have to understand, Pfizer lost in Canada, they've lost in Europe, but they go to countries where they can't be sued. You can't sue from Nigeria here. You can't sue for Mozambique here. So you can go to countries where you either have a corrupt government structure or they're coerced, or should I say they've constructively manipulated into having this drug as part of their international foreign aid. Do you see what I'm saying? So the women become just chess pieces in a Malthusian eugenics game.
And so you think this goes beyond just a corporation making as much money as it can, pushing it on as many people as it can? You think it actually goes down to this is a modern day form of eugenics that we've
seen. And genocide, yes.
And it's happening here in the U.S. as well.
Yes, it is.
Well, that's very shocking, and we'll definitely follow up with this story. Very disturbing. Thank you so much for coming on.
Right.
Thank you for your time. Randy Short, President, National Spokesperson.
And I'm with the Rebecca Project on Human Rights.
Absolutely.
All right, thank
you.
All right.
Thank you so much, Scotty, for playing that. I know I have not ingested any kind of birth control since, like, my early 20s when I started reading about the effects.
Hi, guys, it's Shanna. Welcome back to my channel. And if you...
to possibly start having children, then you would... you could possibly have some dangerous side effects from taking that medicine. So, but if you know anyone, Brother Brown, you don't have any family members on Depo-Provera, do you, or Delta, Icy Hot? Daddy?
Well, I actually know someone that is taking it, and she does seem to have some mental health issues. I was wondering what had gotten wrong with her.
No, I don't know anybody now, but my ex girlfriend of mine used to be on it.
Mm-hmm. I had a friend that was on. Well, no, she wasn't on Depo Provera, or was she? Let me see. I need to call and ask her because I think she was on it, and then all of a sudden she developed a blood clot, and there were some questions about. Could it possibly be the Depo Provera? Or either she told me they were trying to have her start taking the Depo Provera shot.
And see, this another thing, though. This goes back to the unity question. And, you know, I like to talk about global unity. That's what Malcolm was working towards, you know, building those lines of communication and trade between black people in the diaspora. But see, this is one of those issues where black people are being mistreated, being abused, being exterminated by white people. But we got black people here in the United States who are so brainwashed by the Christian religion that they actually believe that those are God's chosen people over there. And that everything they do is okay because they chosen by God. And so they don't care. They don't care that black people are being exterminated, just like those black people I saw promoting Hillary Clinton and all that. They didn't care nothing about Reverend Bernice King, did not care nothing about all the black people that was being murdered in Libya, okay, on Hillary Clinton's orders and what have you. So again, this is why I tell you, man, we got to be looking to unify with people with like minds. We just can't unify based on skin color, because a lot of us, we have taken on the oppressor's mindset.
Scotty, I echo everything you just stated, because it is exactly, those are my exact sentiments, I would have to say. We have to unite with like minds. And I remember, then we'll get ready to close out. I was speaking to Brother Brown about this earlier. I remember in 2012, celebrating the new year coming in, sitting in the room with some friends, and we talked about 2012 being the year of mastery. So all the studying, all the reading, all that we've ingested over the years, studying our history and gaining all of this knowledge, it's time to apply all of that. It's time to move. It's past time, like Malcolm said. We need a it's already too late philosophy. I love to say that. It's already too late philosophy, because we're so late. And so it's time now to really unite with those that have a like mind, that are on at least in the same damn book you in. I prefer you to be on the same page, same paragraph, so we can just move forward. But I don't have time to work with people that I have to battle with and constantly have debates on different topics that we shouldn't even be debating about. I mean, we should be moving forward. We should be building. So I agree with you. It's time.
I mean, it's one thing. It's one thing if you don't know any better, you know. I'm talking like a lot of young people are. Let me put it this way. I feel more kinship with people in the street than I feel like some of these people in academia, some of these black people, some of these black professors and got PhDs and all of that. I feel more unified to people on the damn street than I feel with these people, man, because they are totally bought into this system. If this system ended tomorrow, they would lose their little prestige and their comforts that they have in this system. So they don't want to see it end, and I recognize that.
Because they feel that they're comfortable, and they have a little piece of the pie.
If you was Barack Obama, and you about to leave office, and you still going to get paid $200,000 a year for life, got a security detail for life, Then you're going to do like Bill Clinton and travel around giving million-dollar speeches. Would you want the system to end? Would you want the system of race, white supremacy that's paying you $200,000 a year and providing you with lifetime? Would you want that system to end?
Free health care. You can write a few books. Him and Michelle, Sasha, Malia, all of them. Even a dog can write a book. It'll sell.
So it's certain people in this society, non-white people, victims, who don't see themselves as victims, but they see themselves as living the American dream. So I'm looking to unite with like-minded people. I talked to elders, and they said in most successful revolutions, like in Africa and Cuba, everybody didn't participate. Only 5% of the people were revolutionaries. The rest were just waiting on things to continue as usual. They weren't active participants. So that's what I'm looking for, that 5% of revolutionaries out there that want to usher in change.
You know, and that's the truth, because when you think about it, and we used to always say this, in every city you only have like that little 5% or 1% to 5% of people in that city that you can actually unite with and work with. Those are the people that have that like mindset that you have, and the rest of them are masses. And like we used to say, the masses are asses, and we just let them go. We just leave them alone, and we just work with those that we can work with. And then I remember speaking with a brother, and he said, once you get that group together in your city, then you connect with another group of those like minds in another city, and then we just keep connecting those dots, and then we have enough people to do everything that we need to do. And stop looking for leaders. Be your own leader. And if you need a leader, then you get to look at the leadership that we have had in some of our great righteous ancestors who already left a blueprint. But I'm not looking for anybody to take my hand and actually just, I don't know, like stand up in front of a pulpit or whatever, a podium, and give me all of these, give me some enlightenment. I already have my enlightenment. I already know what it is. Well, I seek more, of course, but I know what it is that we need to do. It's been laid out for us. And I hope that we can grow as people, as a people, and find out those people that you can work with in your city. When you see certain events that may have some people that have a like mind like yours, progressive, a consciousness or awareness of the black struggle, black lives, then go to that event and exchange numbers. That's organizing 101. It makes no sense to go to any of these events and you do not leave with some numbers. I always leave with some numbers.
You know, the State of the Black World Conference. The State of the Black World Conference started yesterday. It'll be going on for the next 4 days in Newark, New Jersey. I know some of the members of Black Talk Radio Network called in and said they were going to be there, and we've been running an ad for it. So I'll be interested to see what comes out of that. Actually, one sister named Desiree. How do you pronounce her name? I can't pronounce her name, but she's of Haitian nationality, but she lives here in the States, and she does a lot of human rights work. Desiree Duwute, something like that. She's like actually a voodoo priestess and what have you. And she's been on the network before, but she's going to be a presenter up there as well. So, you know, there are people out there that's putting in work. But on one thing I wanted to say about the masses, we trying to reach the masses. We trying to reach the masses that are being programmed with these self-destructive behaviors that are not constructive, that are not going to lead to our liberation. So again, I really don't have a problem with those masses. The people that I got a problem with is the PhDs, the so-called educated, the people who are living the American dream and who want to help this system, you know, want to help this system perpetuate itself. And it just, I just can't do it. I mean, I really went in on like black journalists. because black journalists were circling the wagons around Donna Brazile when it was revealed that she tried to help Miss Ann cheat by giving her debate questions during the Democratic primaries and the general election. So Miss Ann got caught, and Miss Ann's handmaiden got caught cheating for Miss Ann, and she got fired and lost her job. So then I started seeing all these other quote unquote black professionalists in the journalism industry, and I'm connected to some of them, meaning that I have conversations with them from time to time. But then they start circling the wagons around Donna Brazile. I was like, wait a minute. Why are y'all defending the unethical behavior of this woman trying to help this racist cracker become president? Is that really the message that we send to our children? That, oh, children, it's okay to cheat in high school debates or college debates, because winning is all that matters, because that's the excuse she gave. You know, after she first claimed she was being persecuted because Jesus was persecuted, like, you know, she comparing herself to Jesus or something. They persecuted him without a cause. But then when she finally admitted that she did something wrong, oh, I don't care. I'm not sorry I did it. I was trying to help somebody win and blah, blah. And then, so I'm supposed to be circling the wagons around somebody like that and trying to defend her because she black? No, I'm not going to do it.
Well, Scotty, you said a mouthful. And once again, I have to agree with you on that.
I don't mean to be ranting tonight. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You had quite a bit to share, and we appreciate you. We always appreciate your commentary. Thank you. It comes from the heart. It comes from researched material, you know, which I do love. And we appreciate you. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for engineering the show for us tonight. We're on our new system, and we have a new number, but we are still here on Wednesdays. And let me just see if Icy Heart or Delta have any closing comments. Delta may have dropped off on us. She's been so quiet. I can't believe it. So I suspect maybe Delta's getting her Thanksgiving dinner ready for next week. But Icy Hot, do you have any comments, closing comments?
Well, closing comment, unity, Million Women March, 20-year commemoration, 2017. Not to be confused with the one in January.
Yes, I did want to make that point, because I know I've been hearing people promoting the million, quote-unquote, Million Woman March taking place as a protest against Donald Trump, whatever that means. And but then we also know that Empress Chi in Philadelphia, who is the originator of the quote-unquote Million Woman March, and she is having her Million Woman March October 2017, so stay tuned for that. But I found that quite interesting, because when I did see that, well, someone texted me about it. Someone in California said, I'm going to the Million Woman March, the protest against Trump. And I said, okay. And then I started seeing the articles and hearing people talking about it. I said, wow, this is really picking up a lot of steam. These women really want to go and march against Trump. Okay. And they use a Million Woman March. Interesting. So,
well, we've made them change it.
To her.
We've made them change the name.
Oh, so what is the name now?
Now it's called the Women's March on Washington. It had to be changed because they were usurping trademark infringement. So they had to change it.
You had to change it.
It was just a trick. These were the white women. These were the white women.
Here's something on the women issues that a lot of people, I don't understand. Okay, Donald Trump's a pig. And I mean, we don't even have to talk about him. It's obvious his problem with women. But when they talk about equality and pay equality and all those issues, I don't think people are paying attention that Hillary Clinton was paying her female staffers less than she was paying her male staffers. The same issues that women talk about pay equality if you look at how she conducted herself and her family conduct themselves in their family businesses, the Clinton Foundation, and they got about two or three of them. And this is coming out that this was standard practice for her to underpay her even when she was senator. She was paying the female staffers less than what she was paying the male staffers. And I'm like, how do people just ignore these facts? Yeah, it's right to protest Donald Trump, but I'm like, y'all acting like Hillary Clinton was on the right side of these issues when she wasn't. She can say what she want to say, but she also told y'all she got a public view and a private view, and privately she felt women didn't deserve to be paid the same amount as men on her staff.
She certainly did, Scotty, have a public and a private view. And that's why I would always say, when people say, well, look at her record on what she did for children and families. Well, in Arkansas, she gutted aid to dependent families, and her husband and her put together, during their administration, there was welfare reform, which actually decimated the aid for women and children. So... yeah, I say the same thing with you in terms of her, how she was, the pay disparity between the men and the women. And so a lot of these things, I don't know, well, I mean, we do know why they weren't revealed or talked about as much in the media. But when it came to the point where you can sit here and give a story to a presidential candidate's wife posing nude, you give that a few minutes of airtime and then move on to the next story. This system is just as filthy and disgusting and wicked as Baba Dick Gregory always tries to tell us. It's filthy. Filthy. But you want to put a monkey face on Michelle Obama and all these kinds of things. Whatever this little silly story is, somebody email and a picture of her. You know, they've been doing this for 8 years anyway. So, I mean, but it's okay for this man who's supposed to be our president. His wife has exposed her cha-cha, this little immigrant wife. She probably came on one of those canisters and was a sex slave. And then all of a sudden, now you first lady. Really? That's what you want? But then do you also want someone that will sit here and not want to pay the Haitian people a livable wage so that they can have some running water? Clinton Foundation, hello? So, it's wicked. It's filthy. It's disgusting.
Yep.
And that's what we have. And I'm just not a part of that filthy mess. Don't want to be a part of it. And for me, it really didn't matter which one of them became president. Of course, I think Donald Trump is disgusting, and a lot of things about Hillary Clinton and the Clintons that I don't like, but I'm not letting them affect my life. I'm building my aura to where none of that stuff will penetrate my life. I'm going to keep on moving and doing what I need to do and unite with those, again, as I've mentioned and as we've discussed, have like minds, and we just move on and we just keep doing what we're doing.
One of my parents told me today she saw a woman wearing a T-shirt, a white woman, and the T-shirt said, Donald Trump can grab my, you know what, pee.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they have those shirts, and
T-shirts now.
Oh, yes. I remember one of my colleagues was speaking to a lady about why she wanted to vote for Donald Trump when we were in Ohio. And she said, oh, well, my husband talks like that to me all the time. All the time. That's nothing new. So, I mean, you know.
Oh,
hey,
okay.
That's your
sexy
life.
Talk.
Yeah, I guess I was listening to Tanya Free radio show on Black Talk Radio Network, and it was a brother on there, and he talked about how, I think he said something like, you know, Jim, he talks all nice when him and Bob are in front of people, but when they get out to their pickup truck, you tell a bitch, get in the truck. Get your ass in the truck. And you know there's some women who are talked to like that. They are accustomed to men abusing them, being abusive either emotionally, physically, right? Yep. So, and they accept that.
Yeah, that's
their life, and that's what they know. And that's why we are going to have our show on relationship abuse. And we're not just discussing a relationship between a male and a female. We're talking about all aspects of relationship abuse. Your friend abusing you, your coworkers abusing you. Even elderly abuse, parental abuse, parents that not physically abuse their children, but emotionally abuse and entrap adult children, their adult children. So, and also, we were looking up some other forms of abuse, other types of abuse. Dog abuse. I think I'm being abused by my dogs, everybody. These dogs, they try to run me. I mean, these dogs are crazy. They just, oh my God, they're so demanding. It's ridiculous. They just keep me spinning and going. So I thought that was kind of odd, dog abuse. I said, hell yeah, I think I fit that damn description right there. But anyway, so we'll be talking about abuse. So tune in. And we will be back next Wednesday. And next Wednesday, that'll be the day before I don't call it Thanksgiving. I call it Native American Slaughter Day. So that'll be the day before Native American Slaughter Day, Indigenous Peoples Day. So, all right. Peace, good night, and namaste. Thank you so much, everyone, for your commentary. Thank you for tuning in, and we will be back. Peace and good night. Thank you.